Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres. WGR Sports Radio 550 and WGR550.com. Sports Update.
All right, Dane Smith going to take over the sports update. No, I'm just, you want to read it? You want to go? No? Okay, all right.
Can you read?
The Sabres defeated the Flames in overtime last night 4-3, ending Calgary's win streak at five games. Jack Eichel scored the winner a minute 10 into overtime. Evan Rodriguez, Rasmus Dahlin, Jake McCabe scored, and Linus Allmark, 30 saves, ending their losing streak at three games. The Oilers beat the Canucks 3-2 in a shootout last night. Alex Chiasson scored the only goal of the shootout in the fifth round for the win. Yuri Kara and Connor McDavid scored. Mikko Koskinen made 20 saves for the Oilers. Marcus Granlund had a goal and an assist. Brandon Sutter scored. Jacob Markstrom, 28 saves for Vancouver, who have one win in their past five. The Canucks host the Sabres tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Sean Couturier scored his first regular season hat trick in the NHL in the Flyers' 4-3 win against the Bruins last night. Oscar Lindholm had a goal and an assist. Carter Hart, 39 saves in the win. Montreal Canadiens forward Paul Byron has been suspended three games for charging Panthers defenseman Mackenzie Weegar, also known as Craig Rivet's cousin. Tuesday night, Byron was given a minor penalty for charging on a check during the game. This is the first suspension in Byron's 397-game career. Tune into One Bills Live from noon to 3 with John Murphy and Steve Tasker for conference championship preview game previews. They'll have a chance to talk with the Bills offensive guard, Jeremiah Searles, who just got signed to a one-year contract extension yesterday. Sorry, Riv. The Lions have hired former Seahawks offensive coordinator Daryl Bevel for the same role. Bevel was fired at the end of the 2017 season after 7 years in Seattle and has been on a year hiatus. Coming up next, Dane Smith and Josh Byrne are going to join us here on the Instigators. And let's not delay that intro any longer. Welcome back to the Instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Rivet. And now Dane Smith and Josh Byrne join us from the Buffalo Bandits. What's up, boys?
What's going on?
Yeah, yeah, not too much.
They had to. That was painful for them to listen to that.
Well, you know what's funny is I do the sports update every day. Normally it's just Craig and Marty, and then I got you two bozos in here staring me down, and it's kind of like, what's that?
Are you nervous?
Definitely nervous.
I think that
was one. Hey, boys, that was one of his better ones. So.
I can get a job here soon.
I'm just kidding,
then,
man.
I
can't do. I couldn't do it. It's amazing. You do a great job.
Oh yeah. Okay. Thanks. How's it going, fellas?
It's going well.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Good to have you back.
It's always good to be back.
It's always good to be back. This is your second time here. Yeah. So it's not like always good. But thanks for coming back.
I'm surprised you invited me back after last time.
No, I feel like the last one might have been my fault.
Why is that?
What was I calling you? I called you Dane.
Oh, Billy.
You called Billy. Billy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, he's the better cousin.
We won't do that today, Billy. Anyway, Josh Byrne, first overall pick in 2017, the Buffalo Bandits, off to a great year, better year than the guy to my right.
Yeah, I'm not injured, so it helps.
So talk about like your season. I mean, you're second in the team in scoring, 29 points in four games. You guys are 3-1.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty good start to the year. Is this where you guys expected to be?
Yeah, I think we brought in a lot of guys that offensively we were kind of ready to go. And I think having Shawnee Evans in there right from training camp kind of helps us a lot too, right? Our whole group's together, so it's nice.
So you were saying that this weekend, is it this weekend that you guys play or is it?
Yeah, this Saturday we play Philadelphia. Yeah.
And they're the team that, what'd you call them?
The trap game.
The trap game, yeah. Meaning that this is a team that's 0-4. But we know that that could be dangerous sometimes when you take them lightly, right?
Yeah, those are the tough games to play. Obviously, with our record, we're pretty high right now, and those are the tough games, like I said, because they're 0-4. They're an expansion team, and we don't want to be their first loss.
So, Dane, 105 points last year. You had 137 a couple years ago. You started the year on the IR.
No.
You didn't start the year on the ice.
Played the first game. Last minute of the game, I got injured.
But is that a reoccurring injury?
Training camp is a little bit bugging me, but yeah.
So your first game back from the injury was last game?
Correct.
Only 12 points here, buddy, in the first two games. Riv and I were wondering about that. 6 points in each game. Is that low for you?
I mean, can we mention that I didn't play in the third and fourth quarter? But
that's what I'm looking for. So really, how many quarters of lacrosse have you played this year?
I'm gonna say.
Can you count that?
I'm gonna say four. Four.
So you played a whole game and you have 12 points?
Yeah, I'll give myself six, actually.
Four and two equals six, buddy. I don't know.
Yeah, four and two.
Are you guys line mates?
Well, yeah, we're roommates, too. Yeah.
You can definitely see this. This is right from the beginning when you saw you guys in the back. It's like the brother rivalry going on here.
Well,
you guys are
together a lot because I ran into you guys at the Docs versus Jocks cooking event that we had where Marty Biron and I absolutely destroyed a couple of doctors in a cooking contest. But that's a conversation for another day. But tell us about the lacrosse dynamic, the team dynamic. I think, you know, like we've had the conversation before, but it's not certainly known that you guys don't necessarily just play lacrosse. A lot of your teammates have jobs. A lot of your guys on your team don't even live in town.
Yeah.
I mean, so.
So how does that work? How do you guys practice and stuff?
We practice up at Six Nations. It's kind of like a middle point. A lot of guys live in Toronto. So for us that live in Buffalo and they live in Toronto, it's about 2 hours each way. It's definitely difficult on your body because you're driving 2 hours and practicing right away. But you battle through it.
Well, yeah, you battle through it. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like it's a couple games a week, you know? I mean, how
it's
hard
got check time.
Yeah. It's got check time. You're going to give us all the cliches. I always say lacrosse guys are the most laid-back guys, easygoing. And I've always said it's because I feel like you're the most honest athletes. I feel because you're not getting paid millions of dollars to do what you're doing. You're not, you know, a lot of you guys have jobs. Do you work on the side?
I do not, no.
No, oh, superstar, sorry. What about you? Do you work on it?
No,
big time player. Right? Yeah. All right. Is the game trending in that direction, though? Like, are lacrosse players year-round? I know there's summer leagues, senior leagues. There's field lacrosse championships that some of you guys go and play.
Yeah, it's definitely leading in that direction. Obviously, Buffalo and different teams have different opportunities where you can go out and to schools and stuff like that, and it counts as a kind of an appearance and stuff like that where you can kind of make a little bit more money. But there's also those summer leagues. I know Paul Rabel, if you've ever heard of him, he started a great league, and they're paying a lot there, and they're growing the game as much as possible, so you can play all year round.
So how many teams are in your league?
There are 11.
11, and is there a favorite right now?
I had to think about that one, though.
Yeah. Is there a favorite for the roadie? When you guys go on the road together?
Yeah, where's your favorite city?
Where's your favorite city?
So it used to be probably Colorado, but now San Diego's in the league, and we haven't been there yet, but we go there at the end of the year, and that'll be kind of nice.
Yeah, we'll definitely take a couple days, actually, over there.
So I was saying to Petey that I don't know if you guys do this in lacrosse, but sometimes you get out there in San Diego and you hit a little restaurant bar type thing, and you have a couple wobblies, and all of a sudden you've drank yourself half a case. But anyway, like, do you guys play, you know, guilty? Is that even possible? You know, like I was saying to Andrew that, you know, in hockey, you can take a couple strides and then glide.
Imagine if you were doing an interview with athletes from a different sport and they asked you this question mid-season.
Yeah. No press is bad press, right? I don't know how they
answer. To be honest, but we're looking for honesty here, you know? Like,
but let's be honest. So whether, like,
I'm more of a full case kind of guy. Yeah. If we're being honest.
After your weekend, you guys all get together and you get to have a nice little get together. I mean, I think that's what people, you know, don't really understand is that lacrosse and the camaraderie and the bond amongst you guys and your players. And I think a lot of it has to do with, and speaking from my own experiences, when you play such a physical game and you're willing to go out there, cross-check, slash, speared, whatever you guys are allowed to do which Riv perfectly described. It's like a savage sport. And, you know, you go out there. I think that allows, you know, a more of a respect for, because that's a tough sport. I mean, you can't be soft and play lacrosse.
Can you take us through, like, a game day, let's say on the road, like a game day routine and what you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, first we usually get up, have some breakfast, obviously, you know, the essentials, you know.
Personally,
most important meal of the day.
Get fueled. Then we go through like a walkthrough, helmets and gloves, kind of go through everything that we need to prepare for. Come home, have some.
Forgot about video.
Video?
Yeah,
you watch video? I'm on a really big video guy, you know. Lunch, big thing. Food, always. And then a nap. And
how long's your nap?
I'm a 45-minute guy.
Oof.
I'm an hour and a half, 2 hours.
He's got some other weird
rituals. Yeah,
rituals too.
I sleep with my stick.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Oh, yeah.
God.
In the bed.
You treat it with respect, he'll treat you with respect.
Oh,
he covers it up. He covers it up too.
I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
I should have tried that.
Oh, the hockey stick.
My stick wasn't very good. <Yeah. laughs>
I just lost a ton of respect for you.
Why?
You sleep.
It's a lucky stick, just let me tell you that.
Well, I mean, you only have 12 points in two games, buddy. Yeah, you gotta pick that up. Instigators, we're joined right now, Josh Byrne and Dane Smith from the Buffalo Bandits, and talking about the National Lacrosse League, the growth of the game. I would have to say it was Buffalo draws the most fans, wouldn't you say? I mean, when you guys go road to road, team to team, you see. I've also spoken to other players from other teams around the league, and they always say coming to Buffalo because of the atmosphere and the amount of fans that come out to support.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely have the most and probably the most diehard too, right? Like, these guys, they've got their face painted, they got the cowboy hats on, the Great Dane dog masks. They're full blown, man.
I like to think of it as a combination of Bills fans and wrestling fans, and it's pretty cool to see out there.
No way.
Have you ever been to a game before? I can't figure this out, and I have to emphasize this to everybody. You have to go to a game, and I'm not saying it because these guys are sitting here. It is probably...
You've told me this many times.
I've been saying it. Well, I used to tell you guys. I mean, your coach, John Tavares, I mean, I used to go and watch him play when this team first started back in the early 90s. I mean, back in the old odd, like, the Bandits were huge, and they sold out, and I've told everybody it's the most... I think it's the most exciting sport. You know, because you look at your stats, two games, you have 12 points. We joke about that, Dane, because, you know, we have, you know, expectations of 140 points. But you guys are putting up scores like 15, 12, you know, 14, 10. These are the scores that everyone's getting, fast pace, hard hitting. What are the rules? Are you allowed to spear somebody? Are you allowed to, like, slash?
Poke. Poke would be the right term. You're allowed to poke somebody. You can't pitchfork a guy.
They call it poke. That's a spear, Pete. Yeah. You're allowed to spear into the hands, right?
Into the hands,
which means if gloves. You hit the gut, that's okay.
So, and two hands swinging the stick, you're allowed to slash.
Yeah, I don't understand what is a slash and what isn't nowadays.
I don't either.
It's kind of crazy. And us being offensive guys, we're kind
of
soft. So like,
if
any slash is a bad slash to us.
Do they actually have slashing penalties?
There are, yeah. But it's kind of, they give you a warning, and then the guy lets up, and then he'll slash you again, and they give you a warning. It's like, okay, how many warnings do you get?
So, like, your arms, like you guys, like, you're getting hit with these, like an aluminum type head, and they're...
It's a plastic head, but they're pretty stiff. They're pretty stiff.
I said aluminum, but I'm plastic, but I mean, they're hard. I mean, that's got to hurt. I mean, when you're getting...
Can they whip your legs, too?
You can kind of
they get away with
that.
It.
Yeah.
They get away with it. Oh yeah.
So it's not allowed to slash somebody in the legs because you guys don't wear padding down below. But what do you guys wear up top? Shoulder pads, slash guards?
Kidney pads, slash guards. If you're him, you wear a full bodysuit, like a bubble wrap kind of thing.
It still doesn't still get injured.
Well, you've said this before. Like, you are kind of soft. Eh?
I am kind of soft. Yeah.
So were you maybe built more for field lacrosse?
Maybe hockey.
Is field lacrosse like? So explain the difference. Growing up in Canada, four Canadians here. Growing up in Canada, I only played box lacrosse. I went out one day for field lacrosse, and I said, I hate soccer. You know, so you know, like I like going into the corner. I like going into the boards. I like cross checking. I like playing rough. Mm. And you know, there's a big difference between field lacrosse and box lacrosse. And I feel like colleges, there's so much emphasis put on field lacrosse, you know, across the U.S., you know, with college sports and D1. But box lacrosse, to me, is the way better game. I don't know how you guys feel. I know you've played, and you both played in national level in field lacrosse.
Yeah.
But what's the better game?
I personally like box better. But I think, like, the main difference is in box, you can hit the guy whenever you want, right? Like, so I'm running through the middle, I can get destroyed. And it's like, oh, yeah, tough luck, buddy. But in field lacrosse, you run through the middle, they have to let you go or follow you. So it's a little bit different in that sense.
I definitely like box better. It's faster, it's rougher, and yeah, like you can't fight in field lacrosse. Not that I'm a fighter.
Do you have a different type of player?
You can't watch the fights.
Do you have a different type of player in field lacrosse to the box lacrosse? Because box lacrosse, it seems like you're playing in a lot smaller area. You're not running as far, and you guys are big guys. Like, I mean, you look like you have some muscle to you. Mm-hmm. When you're playing field lacrosse, I would think that you would have to run a lot more. You know, like
There's different positions, obviously.
But are you like a deer anyway? Yeah. You give me the impression you're pretty fast.
Yeah, they say that.
Who says that?
By the way, love the new uniforms, fellas. I got to tell you, like, unreal. Are goalies in lacrosse as whacked as we think hockey goalies are? I mean,
worse.
Yeah, I would have worse? To imagine. Worse. I was watching a warm up.
Field lacrosse. Sorry.
Field lacrosse, yeah, goalies.
I don't know what the hell these guys are thinking. They don't have anything on. Yeah. They literally have a helmet, gloves, chalk,
and chest protector. That's it.
That's it.
What are you doing?
That's all.
Like, what are you doing?
100-mile-an-hour shot to the chest or to the arm even. I'm done. Call it. Out of here.
So what are they like before a game?
But I think they're all different. We play with a couple psychos who are like doing like their warm-ups and they're like visualizing the ball and they got like bands strapped to them and you don't talk to them. You just let those guys be in their little bubble.
Those goalies always make the second save. Like once they get scored on, they always make it like they reacted to the save. And if you missed it the first time, like, maybe you'll get a second time.
What about in box lacrosse? I mean, these guys are getting 100-mile-an-hour shots, just sidearms whizzed at their heads. I was watching, I was at a game not last year, the year before, goalie with the long hair. Who was your goalie a couple years ago?
Oh, DeRusso. Yeah, he plays for Philadelphia now. Yeah. He's actually here this weekend.
Yeah.
He would stand and he just jumped for the whole national anthem. Like, he just stood there jumping up and down. And I just remember thinking, like, I couldn't imagine, you know, what the mindset is of this guy. I don't care how much padding you have on. Yeah. Like, you have to be a special individual to stand there and just take, like, sidearms with an Indian rubber ball.
I definitely give them credit because, honestly, without them, you can't play. And they're a big part of our team, especially having Matt Vink on our team now. That's a big part of our team.
St. Catharines boy.
Right?
I'm going to tell you about
goalie
this guy.
Of the year.
I saw this guy working out at my gym back. I was in my early 20s, so I don't know how old he is. He's probably around
36.
So he's right around my age.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he older than that?
I don't know, but he is jacked. 36.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. This guy would come in, and I was a strong guy, and I'm not exaggerating with what I'm telling you. Like, I was in my early 20s. I probably put up, you know, like 275. I don't know, like a few sets of eight. This is my early 20s.
Yeah.
Well, I built it. I got way up there. Don't worry about that. But this guy comes in there. He's not very big, and he gets under the bar, 275, and I swear – he just sat there and he was like this, comfortable. Just 10, 12, 13. And I'm standing there and I'm like, how is this little guy rifling off all this weight? Mm-hmm. And he's just super strong. And then I heard you guys signed him. And I'm thinking, that's got to give your odds of winning, you know, make him a lot greater.
Yeah. Is he
one of the best of all time?
He's probably the best of all time. He's won 7 goalie of the year. He makes our team go from a mid-pack team to one of the top teams. Personally, that's what I think. And any team, championship team, you need a goaltender. And any sport, to be honest.
He set a record your first game, didn't he, with most saves in a game or something?
Our last game, he did. I mean, I think we set a record, most saves in a game, and I think we tied the record for the fewest goals allowed in a game.
He has the most all-time, though. All-time saves, yeah.
Yeah, he's a beast, man.
Yeah, and when he takes off his shirt, everybody puts theirs on. So.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard about this guy.
I'm not even kidding.
Like you're amazed. You're like,
legend,
oh my God.
The legend of Matt Vint.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, you know, absolutely. Dane Smith and Matt. No, not Matt.
Matt Vint.
Daddy boy.
Yeah, Jesus.
Read it. You got to read his name.
What is your name? Josh Byrne.
Me?
Sorry, Josh Byrne. I'm thinking Matt Vint. I'm sorry. Josh Byrne and Dane Smith in studio with us from the Buffalo Bandits. And your next game coming up is on the road this weekend in Philadelphia?
No.
At home, it's actually alumni night.
You should do your research before you ask
those
questions.
Look at all these papers. See all these papers? So that's your
standings. I love these guys so much.
That's your standing. This is your team standing right now, your scoring leaders. Josh Byrne is sitting at number 3 in the league.
You have there's your 2019 season. There's your Josh Byrne profile that I was handed 5 minutes before you guys came on. Here's your Dane Smith. I will say this though: 2016 league MVP, 2016 All Pro first team, and named to the 2013 All Rookie team. Not a bad standing. Now let me ask you this, Josh, before we get out of here.
Oh, I'm so close to tripping him.
What?
One good year, buddy.
Him? One good year?
We'll forget it, though, I guess.
You're not allowed to have one good year and then have a bad year? Is that
exactly? That's what I mean. Like
consistency.
You can't carry the squad every year. What has John Tavares taught you, Josh?
That's a big question. Probably to be unselfish. That's the most thing. Just to always just put the team first and do the little things right. As soon as I got into the organization, they were like, listen, we don't care if you score 3 to 4 goals a game. We have a Dane Smith. We don't need another Dane Smith out there. Just do the little things right, and you should be all right.
What about you? I know he's had a huge – you played with him.
I did play with him, and he could be my dad, actually, so it's kind of weird. But
you're not my dad.
He's a great coach. He's the smartest guy I've ever met. On floor and off the floor. He lasted that long for a reason. And like you said, just to be unselfish, you're usually the guys that are working for other guys are the ones that get open. And we've learned a lot.
This guy, what did he play till he was
46?
46 years old.
Yeah. I don't know how he did it.
You, my friend, Craig, I will tell you this. You missed watching pretty much the Wayne Gretzky of lacrosse play. I mean, every night this guy was absolutely phenomenal. Daner? Thank you very much. Josh, I'll never get that wrong again. But we're talking about 15 different players right now on your squad. Appreciate you guys coming in. Would love to have you guys on more. I absolutely love lacrosse, and yep. I feel like our listeners, people that, you know, love the Sabres, you know, love Buffalo sports, you got to go check out the Bandits because it's absolutely epic sports. I mean, from the physicality, the speed, the scoring, the offense, not much defense, great goaltending. We'll be right back here in the Instigators. More Sabre talk. They beat Calgary last night 4-3. WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of the Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Revay.
All right, thank you very much to Dane Smith, and what the hell was the other guy's name there?
Joshy.
Josh. I know, I'm kidding. I'm joking around. Like Jay Harris yelling in my ear as if I didn't know. No, that's a lot of fun. Lacrosse players are always the most fun, and I'll tell you the one thing I pick up. You said it right off the bat. Like, you can tell these guys live together, but not only that, it's like a brotherhood, you know, like these two guys like chirping back and forth, and you can tell Josh is like, he's got a little Derek Roy in him. You
he's
know?
Definitely got the little young Derek Roy, but he knows he's good. That's a good confidence to have. You know, obviously, these two guys are elite players, and they like to have fun. They're young bucks. They're roommates. They're probably, you know, throwing bombs across the table every night, but they're having fun doing it. So you know what, I'm gonna do my best, and I know it's very tough because I don't have a lot of time with the amount of time I'm spending at the rink with my kids and stuff, but I'm gonna do my best to try and get out to a game this year. I'd love to watch these
guys.
Can I
come
with
you?
Absolutely.
I'd love to come with you because it is a lot of fun. I mean, the atmosphere alone, win or lose, the atmosphere alone it's unbelievable. The fans, they get right into it. The music's playing during the game. They have a very good team. You know, we joke about Dane only having 12 points in two games, but I mean, I'll tell it like it is, and you probably don't want to say it to his face because, you know, he's a humble guy, but he's one of the best players in the world. You know, he plays right here in Buffalo. You had John Tavares for years. You have Sean Evans. You now have Josh.
Well,
you
know, Josh is an up-and-coming player, one of the best players. First overall pick. He's up-and-coming to be the best in the world. And these guys, you can tell that they're both of them, just listening to them bicker back and forth like two brothers, that they're highly, highly competitive. And they're very confident in their abilities, and you can tell it just by listening to them. These got these young early 20-year-old bucks. It's pretty cool. So
you know how many hockey players played like great hockey players played lacrosse growing up? I can name a few right off the bat just because they come from, you know, in and around where I grew up. You know, you have Gretzky's from Brantford, I believe he played lacrosse. Brendan Shanahan, huge lacrosse family. Joe Neuwendijk, Joel Otto. Those are players that I remember. I mean, John Tavares from the Islanders obviously played lacrosse growing up, you know, naturally because of his uncle. And his uncle, you know, there's a real tie to lacrosse and, well, box lacrosse and hockey, hand-eye coordination, you know, running and shooting on, you know, if you want to call it in
forwards, defense. All the same thing.
But the game has changed a lot. It's, you know, you have offense and defense, but it's a phenomenal game. It's rough and it's tough. And, you know, I love the sport. So get out and watch the Bandits play. Alumni weekend, as they mentioned, this weekend, and some of the greatest to ever play. One of them coaches John Tavares. So back to the Sabres. Let's get back into the game last night. I mean, I don't know how much more we want to talk about, but I guess you want to talk about, you know, looking forward to Vancouver. I don't know if the team's going to practice today or not. Right now, it's if they went to Vancouver right away, it's only 8:30 where they are.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, I'm not going to, I guess, assume they're going to practice, but, you know, probably a lighter day and they get ready for the Vancouver Canucks, who might get Elias Pettersson back. By the way, we'll talk more about this tomorrow.
Yeah, and let's cross our fingers that he doesn't. But even if he isn't in the lineup, you know, he's coming off an injury, and
we don't want to see him.
Not going to be as sharp as what he should be. So you want to take advantage of that. Get a body on him.
Well, Vancouver lost last night to Edmonton in a shootout, 3-2. So, I don't know what Vancouver is. I'll be flat out honest with you. We've talked about them at the start of the year. Probably picked them to miss the playoffs. But you look at the Western Conference and how tight it is. I mean, every point is crucial for those teams. And I don't know if Vancouver's a realistic playoff contender. But I think we thought Edmonton was going to be the easy game the other night. And they schlacked a 7-2. I don't know if that's a result of how the Sabres played.
Yes.
But you can tell that
Sabres beat themselves.
You can, and you said that the other day, but you can tell Housley you know, whipped these boys into shape yesterday. And it may not necessarily be physically, but mentally whipped them into shape. You know, get straight in between the ears leading into this game. Otherwise, it's going to be 10 times worse possibly against Calgary. I guess there was an extensive video session, you know, tough work in practice. I mean, in between and day before a game, I mean, that's you know, that's kind of risky, right? I mean, you're throwing the boys
Well, they're all true professionals. You know, we've all been through those games that you feel like you wish you can forget immediately. The reality is they went into Edmonton in the first game of this road trip and got absolutely embarrassed. They got spanked, and it wasn't from Edmonton playing absolutely fantastic. No, it was the Sabres that beat themselves. They made a tremendous amount of mistakes. They were very sloppy. They did not play very good defense. It was one of the worst games we've played all year. And listen, it happens. It happens to the best teams in the National Hockey League. You look at the other night, Washington Capitals, one of the best teams in the league. They lost 7-2. I mean, listen, it's going to happen to the best teams around. It's how you put that behind you. Phil Housley collectively getting this group of men in the video room talking about, listen, we're going to talk about the things that we need to be successful. We're going to talk about the things that we need to do to be able to compete with this next team because they are very powerful offensively. You're going to talk about Calgary's tendencies. You're going to talk about what we need to do to be successful and the work ethic and all that stuff. The video sessions, I'm sure, happened, but it's like you said, most important. It's about getting the mind straight. It's about making sure that you're prepared to play your best game. And you know what? Listen, the Buffalo Sabres, again, in last night's game against Calgary, did not play their best game. There was a lot of times it was very sloppy, but the work ethic from a lot of players, it was there. And these guys competed, and they came out with a massive, massive victory in a building in Calgary that this team has been on fire.
I think
this is a big, big stepping, a positive stepping stone for the Sabres. Now they want to end this. They want to end this road trip with a huge win in Vancouver. So get the mind straight. Get the game plan down, and I can't wait to see how they do.
Yeah, I'm just looking back at the standings. I've been looking a lot at the standings. That game last night, the difference between, you're 52 and 54 points. I know it's only 2 points, but you have one more game played than Pittsburgh. You have a game in hand on Montreal, which doesn't gain you any ground. So, I mean, it's becoming only a four-team race there for that final two wildcard spots. I have Canadiens, the fourth team in the Atlantic, whoever you want it to be, or the Metropolitan, I should say, the fourth team in the Metro, whether it's the Islanders or Penguins, they're going to get in. And, you know, you have Sabres, Hurricanes. After that, I don't know. I'm not going to say I had hopes for the Rangers, but I guess I didn't want to rule anybody out. But the Rangers look like that's starting to spread a little bit. The Devils look like they could be done, you know, and then obviously Red Wings, Panthers. Panthers, I mean, the Panthers are a team that are, I guess, are they the biggest disappointment in the Eastern Conference right now? And I'm not saying I'm disappointed about it, but I think when you look at expectations going into the year, you know, Bob Bugner's team there, I think, you know, you pick up Hoffman and,
yeah,
you know, like I think, you know, you have your finger on the pulse a little more in Florida. I mean, I have to imagine that this is a colossal disappointment with some of the players. I know they've had injuries.
Well,
but
you know,
all teams, every team this year has had injuries. Sabres, every team's had injuries.
It's certainly a disappointment in Florida, for an example, because I think they have some really high-end talent. And, you know, with a Barkov and a Huberdeau and their trade with Hoffman and Dadonov. But you have to remember something. Could you imagine losing a player like Trocheck, who, as far as I'm concerned, is probably the best second-line center in the National Hockey League? He is great defensively. He adds 60, 70 points a year. He's a 25-goal scorer, but he plays the game properly. And you've lost this guy essentially for the entire season. You can't replace him. They also have a Nick Bjugstad, who's a 6'5". He's a 215-pound guy. He's a good hockey player. He's been injured for quite a while. They're missing some key pieces to their lineup, and they're just not able to rebound.
You think if they miss the playoffs, is Bugner on the hot seat?
You know, it's very tough because
it's been a year of firing coaches.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, listen, you got Alexander Barkov, who's got 44 points in 45 games. Pretty good, right? The problem is he's minus 20. And you got Jonathan Huberdeau, who's leading the team in points with 47 points in 45 games. Pretty darn good. He's minus 24. This can't happen. They've got to be better. They've got to find a way to be better defensively, because they have the offense. But like I said before, Trocheck is a major loss for this team, and they're just not able to rebound off of players like that.
And that's why, you know, I don't know.
And there's my rant on Florida. Who cares? I think Florida, to be honest with you, I don't think they're going to have enough to make the playoffs. I believe exactly what you're saying right now, that in the East, it's moving into being basically like a four-team race for two spots.
It's almost like the conference is split in half. You have teams,
and you know what? With this focus on winning this next game in Vancouver, it is so essential, because there's going to be a nice break. It's going to allow this Sabres team to recharge, heal some injuries. It's coming at a perfect time, but this next game is absolutely massive. And I'll tell you right now,
does it make you nervous that Pettersson might be coming back?
Yes, because he's got 22 goals and like 47 points.
Well, you're going to see a good Calder candidate game.
He is the leading point producer for the Vancouver Canucks. He is a major, major point. He to them is like us losing Jack Eichel. That's the reality of it. He is a hell of a hockey player. He's had a fantastic season. And, you know, if he's not in the lineup, which you cross your fingers that he's not, it gives the Sabres a better chance to win.
I'm just looking at Vancouver's lineup right now with Pettersson obviously leading the way, but you have Bo Horvat. He's a young first-rounder. Brock Besser, Godolbin, Louis Erickson, okay, Alex Edler, Jake Virtanen. I like this kid Roussel, you know, like, remember we talked about him, you know, that is that not the kind of guy that, you know, I feel like every team needs in their roster?
Well, you look at what he does, because he's a third line player. He's very fast. He's highly physical. He's a bit of a rat. He's going to hit you. He's going to forecheck you. He's going to drive the net hard. He's going to go all the dirty areas. He's not a real big guy, and he's not really much of a fighter, but he's got 94 penalty minutes. He is going to get his nose dirty, and he's going to be very tough to play against.
5'11", 199, but, man, he can really change the momentum swing of a game. Like, he's an agitator.
Listen,
but he's tough, though, and that's what I love about him, is that he is an agitator, and he is, you know, in on forechecks, and he's, you know, ruffling feathers, and he's got almost 100 pins.
Listen, he's perfect for today's game. He's not a fighter whatsoever. He's not a fighter, but he is going to agitate, and he is going to hit, and he is going to forecheck, and he's going to go to the dirty areas, and he's going to make things tough on these defensemen. But
are you changing anything for tomorrow night? Like, if you're,
I wouldn't change one thing. I'm going to tell you this. I thought there's some players, like, listen, I would like to see Jack Eichel's line start to bury a little bit more. You know, you need your top line. If you're going to keep those guys together, they need to produce each and every night. And for the first 60 minutes of play, they didn't do anything. And they didn't do anything in Edmonton. And that being said, you know, you want to give a little bit of leeway, because Jack's coming back from an injury, and we don't know if he's fully 100%, which most likely he is not. We just need that big boy line to keep going. And we also need this secondary scoring to continue. I think it's been great so far. There was a lot of really, really good play from a lot of players. You know, I talked about Connor Sheary and how he looked like he was possessed. He was really moving his feet. Rodriguez scoring an absolutely beautiful goal, dished by Casey Mittelstadt. We need to continue this, and this is going to be a big, big game for the Sabres.
Brian Koziol tweeted out, here's an interesting stat for you, okay? Counting tonight's game, this is last night, after the Sabres have scored a goal this season, they've given up a goal to the opposition 17 times within 2 minutes or less. That is not handling success very well at all. And then last night, make it 18 times where they score, and then within 2 minutes, you know.
18 games within 2 minutes, there's a goal scored.
Yes. 18 times.
I'll tell you.
Not necessarily 18 games.
That is the statistic that would absolutely drive a coach insane.
Why?
Because that they need to be better. They need to manage this game. It's you know, when they score a goal and they're on their high, the team, the next lines need to know let's manage the puck properly. Let's get things deep. Let's do the right things. And obviously they clearly haven't, because 18 times out of what, 40, how many games they played? 48? 46?
Yes, they played 40.
46?
47. Right 47. In between.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a concerning stat. And
it is.
And I've noticed it too. You noticed it in Tampa Bay game. Saw it last night. I mean, I don't think there's an explanation for it. I mean, is there an explanation for it? I mean, other than what?
Well, it needs to be brought up. It needs to be brought up, and it should be.
Do you think coach goes back and looks at every all 18 times and finds out who's on the ice, how many times each guy's been on the ice, or who he puts on after
a
goal?
There is a tremendous amount of people watching video for the Buffalo Sabres on all different accounts, and I can guarantee you that they have looked at all 18 times that who was on the ice and got scored on. Because there could be a pattern. But
well, that's what I'm wondering, if there is a pattern. When we come back, we have a pattern. We do the buy-sell trade every single day. We're going to do that when we come back, and that'll be our final segment right before One Bills Live, noon to 3. John Murphy, Steve Tasker coming up after us, WGR 550 and MSG.
We're back with more of The Instigators with Andrew Peters and Craig Rabe.
All right, welcome back. Final segment for today. Instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Rabe, and our buy-sell trade presented by Buffalo Sports. Go to Buffalo Sports where you can buy, sell, and trade new and used sports equipment on McKinley Parkway, and you can go to @WGR550 to join the Twitter poll on Twitter. And buy-sell trade, Rasmus Dahlin extends his point streak.
Rasmus Dahlin is going to extend his point streak. Bye.
In Vancouver.
Absolute bye. I just think that this young man is just getting warmed up. you know, he's each and every night he's starting to look more confident with the puck when he's moving the puck up ice. He has confidence, and you can start to see it as he grows as a young defenseman. So, you know what? I mean, he's going to have opportunity to continue that. I think he likes to be on the same line as Jack when they're playing, and I mean, I don't see why not. I think he's played very well.
Yeah, I'm going to buy it too. And you said the word opportunity, power play, penalty kill, five on five. I mean, he's getting all the ice time, all the opportunity, well deserved too. I mean, let's be honest. If you're going to look at the Edmonton game as a rough game,
he was like a slithery eel cruising up the ice with the puck. It's amazing.
He was a bright spot if there was one in the Edmonton game. So I mean. Yeah, I'm going to buy that too. And I mean, if you want to do the other one?
Absolutely, yeah.
All right, World Cup of Hockey will not happen. NHL and NHLPA announced. So buy, sell, trade. World Cup of Hockey is overrated.
I'm going to sell that in a big way because I'll tell you why. I would say and buy this if it weren't for the under 20 team. The North American team, remember that?
Yeah.
Where you had the Jack Eichels, the Connor McDavids, the Johnny Gaudreaus, all these guys, Nate McKinnon, all these guys that were under the age of 23. Do you not want to see that again? It was the most interesting hockey team I have watched in my lifetime.
So they announced
watching that team.
They announced the 2020 World Cup will not happen. I guess from how I interpret this, there was a, you know, hey, deadline is this. Players said whatever, and
well, now, I think Gary Bettman was trying to hold it over the NHLPA. What's his first name?
Donald Fehr.
Gary Bettman was trying to hold it over Donald Fehr's head, and Donald Fehr basically just said, cancel it. I don't care.
Which I think is interesting because it generates revenue for the league, and you know, like that's part of the World Cup. You know, part of it is that they have the rights to it, right? And
they make a lot of money on it.
Now I understand the league is at a. Now I haven't seen the revenues for this year, but cap has already been announced that it's potentially going up $5 million this early. That's a huge
it's crazy.
Sign.
It's going up every year.
So. I mean, obviously, revenues are pretty good. So, I mean, this is a tactic? I think this is all part of it, right? This is the start of the beginning of the CBA discussions a year.
Like,
and a half
I remember
in
back in 2004 when we were trying to negotiate that current CBA, I think the league wide revenues were about $1.8 billion. Well, now, 14 years later, they're upwards of what, $5 billion or $4 or $5 billion?
Say between just a little over four to be safe. I don't know what the exact
number is. The league's
doing
pretty darn good for everybody.
Doesn't generate as much as the NFL, and that show's coming up next. That's One Bills Live. That's got to be a $14 billion business at least. And I don't know, maybe Murph and Tasker can tell you that. One Bills Live coming up next. We're the Instigators. We are back tomorrow with Marty, 10 to noon. Preview that game against Vancouver tomorrow night, 10 o'clock. And that'll do it for today. I got to be better tomorrow. I got to be better.
Yep.
See you tomorrow, Riff.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.